This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number two, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, of course, as well, the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, Jay Will from
Jay Will and Max.
What did you do, baby?
And let's get to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And you know what? Forget sports, Jay, because we've got a controversy brewing on this show right now that we need settled. First and foremost,
talk to me, Hahn.
What's today's date?
What is today's date? I think today is the 21st, right?
It's the 21st night of September, is it not?
Yes.
Right. So
he's going to the verses of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Right? You know what I mean, right?
And I told
it's the 21st black night people of
don't
September.
Know, black people don't know all of the sun. We just know the hooks.
Tell me you remember Dancing in September, Bart Scott. So
okay.
Bart Scott decides that the lyrics are the 36th day of December, which doesn't even exist.
Listen, we own it as a culture. We own the song. We can pull like whatever words we want in.
No, you can't do that.
But Alan, you see, you got to understand the way we were raised. Like my uncle, who had literally always was barbecuing to this type of music, who always had like a half a bottle of Henny, would be mumbling the words with the Bluetooth on, just hitting a two-step. Right? So for me, I never really knew the words. I just knew the feeling that the song gave me, and that's what it represents.
And the hook.
Right part?
And the hook, you know
the
what I'm
feeling.
Saying?
I get you with the feeling. I understand that part.
That's all I got. That's all I need. All right,
we know the melody.
Bart is the uncle. Now I figured out.
Body eye is all we know.
Bart is the uncle with the Bluetooth hanging off the ear. Maybe and once in a while it drops into the solo cup. You got to take it out again. Like you're the uncle with the Bluetooth hanging off the ear. You're not talking to anybody, but the Bluetooth's on your ear.
Eating a hot dog while I'm cooking hot dogs.
While you're cooking and then singing songs with no lyrics.
And then, Alan, you literally got this spatula, right? You got that in your hands, and the hands are up in the air, and you're not moving a lot. You're just two-stepping with the hands up in the air with the Bluetooth on. That's all you need. I mean, you're sweating. You're sweating profusely, too. You stink. None of the kids want to be by you, and you stink and you smell like Henny at the same time.
So Jay Weezy, is it hanging in a child line?
Oh, here we go.
Or shucking in a jiving? Good times.
Is
Which
it
one
what?
Is it?
Hey, say it again.
Is it hanging in a child line, or is it shucking in a jiving? Controversial lyrics.
Shucking and jiving.
Thank you. Shucking and jiving is what it say.
Mama Bart says that too.
Yeah. Nobody. Exactly. Shucking and jiving.
I didn't know that was a question.
Yeah, but you got it right.
That's a major controversy.
It's a major controversy. People say the people that even wrote the thing says hanging in the child line, and we're saying shucking and jiving is what they say. And my mother said that was a term that they used back in the day.
No. There's a third one.
It's a third one?
There's a third one.
What's the third one?
The third one.
What's the third one?
Is the people who wrote the song performed it said they're saying hanging in and jiving.
Man, it's sucking in the jiving, man.
No, I'm telling you. I can't
look it up.
I can't co-sign that, Alan. I can't co-sign that, Alan.
All right. Well, I'm just saying if you did the research like I do, there's three options. Which one do we want? That's why we decided to ask
Jay Weezy,
you.
I got one last question.
Oh, boy.
Who's really shucking and jiving? Is Ben Simmons shucking and jiving?
Well, that's
what we're
going to.
Because I think he's shucking and jiving, man, because they need to put him in the child line because he ain't even got enough game to be causing all this controversy.
Well, let's get to the reporting part of this thing now as we're talking with Jay Will. Woj tweets earlier today that Ben Simmons, this is according to sources, Ben Simmons will not report for the opening of training camp next week with the Sixers, intends to never play another game for this franchise, hasn't spoken to the team since late August when they had a meeting, and he let them know, I want out. Woj also said that he's clearly aware of the sanctions about fining and suspending him, holding up salary, all that stuff, but he's willing to force his way out of there. He doesn't care what it's going to cost him. He wants out. The Sixers have yet to find a trade they're willing to make for him. But as you and I both know, Jay, conversations are probably happening. What do you know about this, and what do you see happening?
Well, I mean, this has been going on for a minute, and I know we've been heavy into football season, but this has been an ongoing issue within Philly. Look, I talked to Rich Paul, and Rich Paul was the one that told me, he's like, we want out. We want out, and we'll go to whatever degree we have to go to in order to get out. We're going to be anywhere but in Philadelphia. So it almost like, you know, for the lack of better terms to use football analogy here, it's like I can make a case. Granted, the scenarios are different. I'm not saying they're similar. But, like, Ben Simmons might be the Sam Darnold of the NBA, right? Like, you're watching how Sam Darnold is being activated differently within Carolina. And I'm not saying that Ben didn't have tools around him, because Ben had tools around him. But what I am saying is that I do feel like the way they utilize Ben in Philadelphia is not his position, Alan. Bart, like, he is more of a small power forward guy that can take the ball and push it down the court. And I think that's his optimal position. And I don't think Doc nor those guys had the right time to utilize him correctly. And the way he was treated, man, you know, look, I go back into this. Philadelphia did have a double-digit lead in multiple games in that series against Atlanta, right? But for the way that Ben Simmons got thrown under the bus to a degree by his teammate Joel Embiid, by Doc Rivers, I think all that was very telling for Ben, that he does not want to be there and that he can find a better location where he actually can be utilized differently. I'm not taking away the onus on Ben Simmons' lack of shooting. I'm not making excuses for him. All I'm saying is I think a change of scenery for Ben will be exponentially better than what the case was for him in Philly.
But Jay Weezy, what's the proper compensation for him? Because I believe that, you know, he's a broken player that has to be fixed, so teams may not be willing to give up the proper compensation to satisfy the Sixers. And if that's the case, who breaks first? Does the Sixers take less and say, you know what, we'll take a lesser player just to get rid of him, one that maybe fits more? And who is that player? What's some of the players or proposed trades that you think could work for both sides? I mean, De'Aaron Fox was out there, but that seems like a no-go because it seems like the Sixers want more than just one player.
Yeah, I don't know if I were the Kings, if I would give up De'Aaron Fox. I think you have to kind of think about that one. Buddy Hield has been somebody that they've been talking a lot about, potentially moving on the trade block. You know, I really don't know what the right move is. I can tell you, Bart, that from the Philly side, if, you know, obviously there are suspensions and there are certain repercussions that come along with not playing. From Philly, I'm waiting for somebody to make the right deal. I mean, look, we're offering him a job. You know, we're trying to find the right trade package for him. If he doesn't want to play, he doesn't want to play. We respect that, but that comes with repercussions. But I'm also waiting to find the right deal that I get enough in return in order to do that.
Talking with Jay Williams from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on the Goodyear Hotline about Woj's report about Ben Simmons is basically telling the Sixers he is not reporting for training camp next week, understands the repercussions, understands it could cost him money. He wants out, saying he'll never play again for the Sixers. Jay, where would you, and again, we'll just play with the trade, let's play trade machine, right? So it doesn't matter. Where do you think would be the best place for him at this point in his career? Where would he fit best, and who would benefit the most from having Ben Simmons?
I mean, a team that you go to right away is the Golden State Warriors, guys. I mean, it's, you know, I know they have Draymond Green. I know there's certain cap restrictions there, but I mean, with James Wiseman, with Wiggins, you have some pieces there that could be utilized. And, you know, look, man, like for him, playing with three-point shooters, playing with people who understand floor spacing, playing in the continuity system, playing in a team that allows you to spread the floor and run, not a traditional low post player where him and Joel Embiid were occupying the same space the whole time, yeah. Alan. Like, if I were Ben Simmons, like, I'm trying to find – I want to be traded out. But if I could be traded to the Golden State Warriors, you tell me what team can utilize me better than Klay Thompson and Steph Curry coming back on that team. You tell me.
See, but Jay Weezy, the crazy part is, then and what are the Sixers getting back in return? They can't take Wiseman. They already have Joel Embiid. So, like, how does it make sense? Do we have to get a third team involved that may be able to give them the point guard that they're going to need to fill the void that is Ben Simmons?
You see, Alan, I feel like you've had a lot of these, you know, you always think about this stuff. What kind of trade scenarios will you pose?
I'll tell you what, if I'm the Sixers, in a trade like that, not only do I want picks, I want Draymond Green.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Because I want him on my team in the East.
Perfect player right next to Joel Embiid.
That's what I want. I want a guy like that in my locker room. I want a guy like that on my team. That's what I want. And I'm going to look at them and say, you got Ben Simmons. It's kind of the same. Kind of the same. Not the same. Kind of the same. Defensive player. But more of four.
A one for one?
You know, more 3-4. No. Not one for one. I want some picks, too. He's an older player.
Yeah.
But and you could argue that Ben Simmons overall is a better player talent-wise, but Draymond Green is a winner.
He's a glue guy.
And he's growing into this guy that I kind of want in my when I'm trying to build something. And so I would look at it that way. I don't think the Warriors would do it, but that's kind of what I'd be talking about. Don't give me a bunch of young guys. No, I'm trying to win. I got Joel Embiid right now, and I got a huge contract. I need to win now. Doc Rivers is not getting any younger. I'm trying to get the dub now. The East is still there to be had, I need pieces that can beat Brooklyn. You give me Draymond Green, I got a better chance to beat Brooklyn.
Would you send him to OKC and take Gilchrist?
Take who?
Shane Gilchrist.
Gilgeous Alexander?
Yeah, whatever.
There's no way. Yeah. I don't see. You see the Thunder doing something like that, Jay?
He says he's a black Steve Nash.
I don't know what the hell I see the Thunder do. I know they got picks for years.
Yeah, they're in the process now. Yeah, man.
But I go back to the Golden State scenario.
That's the best one.
Obviously,
I agree.
It seems like it makes the most sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because Draymond Green can operate similar to how Ben Simmons operated as a playmaker to a degree, but that. And you don't really drop off defensively, right? I mean, from the wing perspective, you do. But, you know, low post. And he understands spacing and how to play next to Joel Embiid, right? I don't feel like their games really fit. But how long have we been
saying
this,
who are you trying to beat, though, Jay? Who are you trying to beat if you're Philly? I'm trying to beat Brooklyn. And I can beat
Brooklyn.
And I get better at beating them by adding a physical, smart, defensive guy who can guard KD at times, who can guard Harden if he needs to at times. Not full-time, but can. I need those kind of guys in the East. You know, I do. I agree. You need a point guard who can play pick and roll with Embiid, and that'd be great to find that, but it's very hard to trade for a point guard in the NBA. Nobody's giving up a good point guard.
If I'm the Sixers, I ask for Wiggins, too. I'm not saying that the Warriors were to it, but I'm asking for another wing defender as well. Like, I'm asking for it. I mean, when you have to go against a Kyrie Irving, a James Harden, and a Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
I want as many wing defenders as I have as possible.
I love it. Hey, Jay, we're talking with Jay Will, by the way, from KJM in the morning. Jay, we remember a couple of years ago when the NBA did this crackdown. They called techs on everything. Every little thing. If you looked at a guy the wrong way, you were getting a tech. Remember that when it just got crazy? A lot of techs were called. And then what happened?
Yeah, similar to the punting rule right now.
Thank
in NFL,
you. That's
right?
Where I was going. And then the league, like the NBA didn't make any announcement. They didn't say anything. It just suddenly went away because it was we were an uproar the first month and a half of the season. It's like, enough, everything you do, it's a tech here, a tech there. It just got crazy, and then it just kind of went away. Do you expect that the NFL, knowing that no one, no fan, no media, no player is happy about this taunting, the emphasis, the extra emphasis, it's not really a new rule, as Chris Mortensen told us yesterday. It's always been there, but they're emphasizing it this year. Do you just feel like it's just going to go away in time, or do you think it is a real problem for the NFL?
Well, it better go away, or it will become a real problem for the NFL. And here's what I would say. As a fan, I was watching the Dallas Chargers game, and there was a taunting play, but isn't that what we want in the game? I mean, as long as you're not maliciously going after somebody, like, Bart, what is wrong if you're a corner or if you're somebody, you make a great defensive play, getting up and flexing to the to the crowd, or running by the player, barking at him, letting him know that I owned you on that possession? I don't understand in a sport that is considered to be one of the most physical sports on the planet that we're supposed to all of a sudden now, you know, harness somebody's energy in from making a spectacular play from reacting to it. What was that play? I think it was like somebody. There was a player for the Cleveland Browns that was like maybe like 2015-16, where the guy scored a touchdown. He put the ball down and he walked away like he was a robot.
Exactly.
Is that what we want? Yeah, is that what we want our players' reactions to be? Like, actually, that's why we want fans in the stands, because they want to feel that energy from the player making a big-time play.
And I think the people that are making these decisions don't realize how much energy and how much moxie it takes to compete and to voluntarily go into car crashes repeatedly over and over again and going against some of these great athletes. And when you finally win one or you make a big moment, to be emotionless. And you're not trying to show up the person. You're trying to celebrate the moment. But you're trying to celebrate the moment right there. What am I supposed to do? Wait for him to get up and move out the way for me to celebrate? How is that spontaneous? Like, this is spontaneous celebration, and whatever you feel is what you display. As long as you're not pushing him or touching him, who cares? Like, at this point, like I used to say all the time, when people were talking about T.O. and all his shenanigans, and he did the Ray Lewis dance one time and he showed it, and it was the funniest thing ever. And after the game, we said, listen, it's our job to make sure that he can't get that celebration. If he gets that celebration, he could do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah,
what did I care?
They're just trying to get – I think the thought is to keep things from getting inflamed, but of course –
but how is it going to get inflamed? What's the person going to do? Knock him out? If they get a penalty for doing an illegal hit, then it's going to hurt their team
even
more.
Once again, it goes back to the Josh Norman Odell stuff, and I think
Man, they just got worried about that.
I know, but I think they were just worried about that. Yeah. Hey, Jay, we got to run. This was
a lot of fun, as always. It's going to take me 3 seconds.
You got another?
You got one shot. Who taking that shot for you, J.J. Redick or Korver? Because he's retiring today, so I want to give a shot to J.J. Redick.
Fellow Dukie.
That's not even a question for me. I'm going my boy, J. Redick. I mean, that's Duke blood right there. What do you expect from me, Bart?
Well, listen, I just want to give you an opportunity to show your loyalty. I want to give you an opportunity to show your loyalty.
Last dance, you want to give me a shot?
I was just trying to give you an opportunity. Know your boy live in Brooklyn, so he around you. I want to give you an opportunity to lift him up. You know what I'm saying? I knew where you was going with it, but I had to set you up. I'm learning how to tease. Allen teaching me how to host. I'm trying to learn how to tease.
All this talk about J.J. Redick retiring, people better calm down 1 second. It'll take one call from the Brooklyn Nets to tell J.J. Redick they need another shooter, and J.J. Redick will be out of retirement winning another championship. Mark that one down.
Is he going to be like Gronk? Mom, where's my basketball shoes?
Exactly. Right. Jay, drop the mic right there because you're exactly right. Thanks, bud, as always. Jay Williams.
Stay under control, chucking and driving.
Jesus, take the wheel. Jay Will from Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max in the morning, every morning on ESPN Radio. We have a few minutes here, and you know what? Let's try to get to – well, by the way, that was Straight Talk, by Straight Talk Wireless. What? No contract, no compromise. Bart Scott, let's at least get one or two in. What is up right now?
Audio foul.
The audio file.
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers get off the schneid, as some say. I don't really know why I said it, but some say. And they get the win last night against your Detroit Lions. They were losing at halftime. Didn't look good, but Aaron Rodgers looked fantastic. He looked like Aaron Rodgers again in the second half. And Aaron Rodgers took the post-game opportunity to address the trolls. That's not what I want.
There's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
The trolls off our back for at least a week, he said. So a little flexing going on there. Meanwhile, Aaron Jones, who had four touchdowns himself in this game as well. So, you know, he lost his dad recently, right, to COVID. Yeah. And he had his dad's ashes on a chain that he was wearing during the game. And he actually lost it. Now, it has been found, but he lost it in a place where he said it's not such a bad place to lose this.
He was really on my heart. I actually have a chain with a football, and his ashes are in it. I scored, and it fell off in the end zone, so I'll go look for it, but I know he's happy. He'd be happy. He was like, if you lose it anywhere, lose it in the end zone.
Lose it in the end zone, especially at Lambeau. They did find it, though.
Oh, okay.
They were able to find it. Did they find Baez's diamond at City Field yet?
Ain't nobody returning that back. People have returned back some ashes.
Like ashes, you'll return back.
Yeah.
But a diamond?
That only has value to you. You know what I'm saying? The diamond's got value to everybody.
Diamond? No, I didn't see it. You see it? You see a diamond, Bart?
No,
I didn't see a diamond.
Hold on, you just got a new Ford Soul or Ford Fuse Focus.
Yeah, wait, where'd you get that new car? I don't know. I found some money. Meanwhile, Sterling Shepard of the Giants going to join us, by the way, in the 2 o'clock hour for those in New York. We'll talk with him about what's going on with the Giants at 0-2. But one of the issues has been the offense and Jason Garrett. He's been under fire for play calling. And remember the incident on the sideline with Kenny Golladay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was yelling, we thought it was at Daniel Jones. Apparently, it was not at Daniel Jones.
Pretty much just me talking to JG a little bit. And, you know, that's two competitive guys right there. And more so just me just wanting to do anything I can. not so much get me the ball more, though.
So you said it's not something you've really done in the past. So what do you think spurred it this time, then?
Division game. Wanted to leave that spot with a win.
He wasn't give me the damn ball, but it was pretty close, I'm sure. So Golladay making it clear. I wasn't yelling at Daniel Jones. I was yelling at Jason Garrett. That'll be an interesting conversation to have with Sterling Shepard. But Bart, I mean, do you like the passion there, or do you feel like that's not really the time and place?
I mean, this is an emotional game. You never know what people are dealing with on the field and off the field that they bring into that emotion, those environments. I don't know what the week was leading up to, what he was promised, what happened, the miscommunication, the communication on certain plays, being checked out of, you know, all that type of stuff. Receivers are very interesting people, to say the least. You just heard Keyshawn come on here. You see he's a little different. All receivers are a little bit different, right? So, like, you got to be able to sometimes hold them and pet them with kid gloves. Sometimes they can't handle the truth.
Are you saying diva?
Devos.
quarterbacks are divas, my man. The biggest divas.
Them too. You know that's why Aaron Rodgers is linebackers.
Yes. You guys are salt of the earth, as real as they come. All right, that was Audio Files. You can download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters. Presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. Our next adventure, a huge event going on in Queens, in New York, tomorrow night at the Tennis Center. Oh, but it's not tennis. It's very physical. We will talk to one of wrestling's biggest stars. Yes, yes, yes! It is Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
Do you remember?
Now, do you get the words right this time?
The 21st day of December.
No, you said this. you did it on purpose. I'm
December
done.
Sounds better.
I'm done. No, it's September. It's the whole idea. Today's September 21st.
December.
And you know what? Tomorrow is September 22nd.
Let's see if Daniel knows it. He looks like he's down.
Now, tomorrow is the 22nd, and there's a huge event in New York City tomorrow. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Okay. That's just why you're pointing that out. AEW Dynamite at Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City. The Grand Slam. And one of their new stars, a name you know, it's his real name, is Bryan Danielson. You knew him as Daniel Bryan when he's with WWE. He joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Bryan, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us. How fired up are you to be in New York City for this event tomorrow in a place that, as you probably know, your yes chant is extremely popular here thanks to one hockey team?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thrilled, honestly. You know, tomorrow feels like the biggest match in my career. You know, it's against one of the best wrestlers in the world, the AEW champion, Kenny Omega. The first time ever wrestling's been at Arthur Ashe Stadium. AEW's first time in New York City. I think it's going to be super, super cool.
I want to just point out that it's so the new, and I know you know this, Bryan, the New York Islanders fans picked this up. What was it about like 2016 or so where they just started doing his chant, the yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And they started doing it. Now, the Islanders are one of the best teams in the NHL now the last couple of years, and it's become a thing, like a huge thing that has almost like become their thing. Are you able to take that chant over with you to AEW? Is that going to be a thing you're going to continue to do?
So I probably won't do it myself, although the fans have been doing it since I started in AEW. And so yeah, it's not probably not something I'm going to do. I don't know if legally if I can or if I can't or whatever it is, but yeah, I'll probably be, because I'm also trying to differentiate Bryan Danielson from the WWE character of Daniel Bryan as well. But I love that the fans are still excited and that they're still doing it.
I love it, man. A couple of months ago, right, CM Punk was teasing the fact that you were coming, and he said, just wait a minute, and then you come. You know, I love Jim Ross. Jim Ross was a regular on my show. But I wanted to ask you something about being a smaller wrestler, how much harder it is to have to be the complete package. Because, you know, Goldberg, come on, man, dude had two moves. Hulk Hogan, outside of a leg drop and a power slam, was nothing, right? You also have to be good on the mic, right? You have to be a perfect heel. But you got to be able to have a lot of skills and a lot of variety, from being, you know, the aerial attack to multiple moves. Like, who was your favorite little guy, right? Who's your favorite little guy as far as wrestlers, whether it's Eddie Guerrero? My favorite was Dean Malenko, because he had a different finishing move every single week. Like, who were some of the people that you looked up to when you were on your journey to become a professional wrestler?
Yeah, Dean Malenko was actually my favorite, which is it was really cool because I got to work with him a lot in WWE, and now he works with AEW as a producer as well. And Dean Malenko, to me, was, as I was in high school, you know, he was one of the guys, I think the guy. Him and Rey Mysterio, they had a match at 1996, right? I'm in high school, and Dean Malenko's 5'6", and Rey Mysterio's 5'3". I'm like, I'm 5'8". There's no reason why I can't try to do this. You know what I mean? Or at least attempt to follow my dream, you know? And so, but I think the main important thing when you're a small guy in the wrestling world is that you have to believably be able to beat up bigger guys. Right? Whatever way that you try to do that. Rey Mysterio does it through flying and all that kind of stuff. Dean Malenko did it through technical wrestling. I tend to do it through technical wrestling, and literally Mark Henry will tell you, kicking the crap out of people. So he said, man, Daniel Bryan, he kicked me harder than I've ever been kicked in my life, and that includes real fights, you know.
I love Mark Henry. One day off air, I'll tell you about our experiences at the strip club down at Sin City.
We've had those discussions. Yes, yeah, we have heard those stories.
But the crazy thing about wrestling as well, man, you have to be witty. You got to be able to talk it and spit it. You know, we've seen guys that have done it the great way. You know, whether you want to talk about, you know, Piper and Piper's Pit, I thought Macho Man was one of the best, like off the cuff interviewers. I got choked out by Kurt Angle. I got, you know, back in TNA. He got me in the knee lock. But, you know, when you were coming up and trying to figure out how to be witty on the mic, like, who are some of the guys you listen to? Everybody knows Ric Flair is one of the best to ever do it. But, like, who did you look up to that part? Because that's a big part of being able to sell, is being able to captivate the fans and be able to talk the talk.
Yeah, well, realistically, that was the part that I was worst at. Like, the wrestling part of it came very easy to me, but talking, especially in front of people, that was always something that I had a hard time with. So in wrestling, I didn't see anybody who had my personality, like my distinct real personality. So I looked more to like how sometimes politicians talked, to sometimes how preachers talk, to sometimes how even somebody like Noam Chomsky would talk when he does an interview or something like that. How does he say things without being overly grandiose? And then you take baby steps towards getting there, right? Like, I'm not The Rock, right? But if I work hard at it long enough, I might get there eventually, because now I'm way more expressive than I was in 1999 when I first started. I had improved by 2007. I was even better in 2012. And now here we are in 2021, and I feel completely comfortable standing in my, what's essentially my underwear, talking in front of thousands of people. So maybe by the time I get to 2024, I'll be rock-like in my ability to talk to people on the mic.
It takes a certain amount of confidence. I know Bart Scott certainly could do it, and it sounds like he's trying to like worm his way into the show tomorrow somehow, some way. We're talking with Bryan Danielson.
We could be a tag team.
AEW's latest star, who has joined them, and he'll be part of AEW Dynamite Grand Slam tomorrow night at Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City. Yeah, as Bart mentioned, he has done it before. But I want to ask you this, though. We do have two producers here who are going, and they're huge wrestling fans. Okay, Pat Costello, James Steele, both diehard wrestling fans. They have awful seats. What would you make them do? to like get a seat upgrade? Like, is there something that you could do that you're like, you've got to do this, and then maybe you can get a seat upgrade?
So if I had the power to do that, I would have them each plant 15 trees in the community.
Ah. Wow. In one day.
You're like, okay.
In one day.
That's a lot of digging.
How much can they dig and how many trees can they plant?
How bad do you want it, right? Like, you could do it.
Yeah, 15 trees. How bad do you want it?
Get out there, get a shovel, get some air scrubbers in there, and clean up the air in New York City.
See, when you said that right there, that just let me know that we were born around the same time, because I too love Captain Planet, right? He's our hero. You know,
yeah, so I was for a brief time I was an environmental bad guy in WWE, and part of the inspiration was Captain Planet, to be fair.
You know what I'm saying? So tell me this, do you enjoy being the good guy or the heel?
Ooh. Yeah.
So I love being hated. I think there's very few things in the world as fun as being hated. And I think most people from a fan perspective are like, oh yeah, it must be really nice to be liked and have everybody cheer you. No. It's way more fun to have people screaming at you and telling you that you suck and all that kind of stuff. But you know, there's a time and place for everything. So maybe I'll get around to that in AEW.
Hey, Brian, you're a diehard Seahawks fan, right? Did I get that right?
I mean, so I am a huge Seahawks fan. I haven't been able to follow much recently.
Okay. All right. So we were going to talk a little bit about the Seahawks
Sierra's husband.
And Russell Wilson.
No, we call it Sierra's husband. His name isn't Russell anymore.
No, now it's Sierra's husband.
He's a supporting actor in his own family now. I mean, it's okay.
So I
can relate to that. I'm the supporting actor in my own family. I don't know if you guys know my wife, but I...
Hey, yeah, wait, I'll kick your coverage,
also,
by the way,
I also
too.
Feel like a lot of husbands coverage. Can relate to that.
Well, she wore his Super Bowl ring to... what was it?
The Met Gala.
And that's pretty special when you just show that off and matches everything else that she's going with. But hey, it's great catching up with you. Like I said, you're in New York, so you know whether you can or cannot. That yes chant is definitely going to be heard loud and clear at Arthur Ashe tomorrow. I know it's a thrill for you. It's a big career move for you as well. AEW is red hot. Everybody knows it. And we're excited to have you. So it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much and good luck.
Yeah, tell Jim Bart Scott said hello.
Yep, thank you very much.
All right, you got it. Again, Brian Danielson, you knew him as Daniel Bryan with WWE.
Yeah.
Since retired and moved on. He wrote a really nice letter, too, in the Players' Tribune, thanking WWE and you know, everything for the start, for everything he had.
Yeah, for the platform. Man.
And you know, and making it what it's become, which is great. It's good to see. And now he's got this opportunity with AEW, which, you know, Mick Foley has said, you know, AEW is really starting to get some of those stars and well-known names, and it's really built up quite a following, and it's been, 2 years?
Yeah, so once they took Jim Ross, I knew that it was going to be a real thing because he's one of the voices of wrestling. You used to think about Gorilla Monsoon. You used to think about Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yep.
It's like certain voices that you just associate with wrestling, and he's definitely one of them. So him going over there a couple of years ago, we knew that it was going to be off to a good start, man. But I tell you, I knew he was Captain Planet, man. I knew Captain Planet.
When he went with the tree line, I was wondering where he was going with that.
He's our hero, gonna take pollution down to zero. Yeah, I might not know September. I know Captain Planet,
You know Captain Planet. Pat Costello, by the way, texted me. He said that he's going to the Home Depot right now. Like, they want those seat upgrades.
Get the digging.
Get some trees going. Brian Danielson, he will be making moves, already is making moves, brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. Spartan Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. You know what? We want to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your week 2 takeaways, where your team is right now, and where maybe you think it's going. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
Oh, yeah! Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
The 21st night of September.
Hold on. You don't even know the words?
Is that the 35 days of September?
No, it's not the 35 days of... What did you even say?
30 days of September.
What did you even say? Oh, man. I wish this wasn't live. We could have totally redone that. Really, we'll never recover from this. You know, we've started the fall book, right? It's the most important book in the radio season. You're doing that?
We had Jay Weezy. Jay Weezy said he didn't know the words either. I know the words, but I just like my remix better. Hanging in the child line. Shucking and a jiving.
Well, you don't even know what those
Easy
words
credit
are
credit ripoffs.
Good times? It's like five different...
If we lucky, we got them.
Yeah.
That's the remix. Puffy made the remix.
He did? Puffy did?
Oh, man. We could have a good verses going on.
We were just talking about doing this the other day, right? Like 70s, 80s, 90s sitcom or TV show.
Sitcom, yeah.
Themes.
Yeah.
And then power ranking them because each decade's going to have its own. Like, you can't really do them all. Like, then you could probably do a collective off of that.
Yeah.
Like if we did brackets,
yes,
70s, 80s, 90s, right, and then bracketed, whatever.
Cheers will be hard to beat.
That's a really good
cheers
one.
Cheers hit you in the chest, man.
Making your way in the world today.
Oh, it takes everything you got.
Yep.
Oh.
It's all that stuff.
I'm feeling that, son.
Like when you hear WKRP in Cincinnati, do you think differently now because you're a radio guy?
Yo, that might be the hardest
town
one.
Town to town, up and down the dial?
Yo,
that's like you now.
Bart Scott.
You literally went up and down the dial.
WJOB in Cincinnati.
WJOB?
JLB.
Mm, okay. Joe is in Seneca Falls. Joe?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's up, man?
I want to talk to Bart.
What up?
Bart seems to be all fired up today, and I'm going to bring up his kryptonite. Mac Jones. How's that working out there, Bart, for all these new rookies versus what Mac Jones is doing? He's going to be 2-1 next week. He'll probably be 3-1. He'll be game against
Joe's letting you know.
Joe, you're
the only Bart, you're the only guy who will not give praise to Mac Jones. You make fun with a mac and cheese thing. He's the real deal.
I didn't name him mac and cheese. I didn't name him mac and cheese.
You just don't want to admit it.
Listen, so.
What's that?
I didn't name him mac and cheese. Cam named him mac and cheese. I'm just calling him what his name is.
But he wants you to give him love.
Listen, he played okay. He threw for 186 yards. Let's not act like he was Cam Newton his rookie year when he threw for 365 yards against the Green Bay Packers, who had a great defense. And you talk about they win next week.
That was Joe on the Barton Nation.
And then they got terrific time coming to town, so they're going to lose then. Listen, ESPN one thing
Nation
is
presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with FanDuel by Dr. Pepper, the one the fans deserve. We are Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Go ahead, go back at Joe now.
Dr. Pepper. I'm saying, listen, when you talk about it, it's not like he's setting the world on fire, but that's not what they asked him to do. But when I watched that game, the fact that you can have four turnovers and only put up that little bitty points against that Jets defense tells me that it is a whole different world between the Buffalo Bills and everybody else in the AFC East because that was horrible.
But among rookie quarterbacks, he so far has looked the best, and that is not a lie. Coming up in New York on 98.7 ESPN, Sterling Shepard and the Giants. Speaking of young quarterbacks, that's next. Bart, until then, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.